Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back to the Kevin Hirsch Show with Bob Buhner.
Just having a great afternoon cruising along.
Exactly,
here.
Exactly. You know, who needs that guy from State College anyway?
Yeah, Iceberg dead ahead.
Darn it, he came back.
Iceberg dead ahead. Let me guess. I'll bet Kevin told Bob, I can smell ice.
Well, we did have a conversation along those lines, I have to say.
Smell bleeding ice, can you?
Smell ice, can you?
So hopefully Doug Birdsong will be with joining us momentarily. Yeah.
That was a close shave. Meanwhile, everything's listing. All right.
Doug, what does ice smell like anyway? I always wanted to know when he says that. What does it smell like? I've smelled ice out of the freezer, and it doesn't have a smell to it, I didn't think.
Oh, it has a little different smell to it when there's some Grey Goose wrapped around it. So I'm taking the gang out tomorrow night. In fact, I had the reservation confirmed today. I'm taking the gang out tomorrow night to thank them for everything they've done to basically carry my sorry backside to the finish line of this season here. And I told them that I sat down. They said, so what restaurant did you pick? I said, it was great. I Googled all the one-star restaurants in Bloomington. I said, it was really great. The list was long. I had great choices.
Did they? did you actually find one that had a drive-thru that accepted reservations?
Well, I said to the guys, you ever hear of a place called Sonic?
Just yell into the box.
It's an Italian place I'm taking to called Grazie that I'm taking them to tomorrow night.
Doesn't that mean thank you?
It does.
I'm not, my Italian's weak, but then again, so is my English.
Hey, you've done a great job lining up the guests today. It's been fabulous.
This has not been a stellar day, okay?
Okay. All right. There you go. I mean, I don't want to take the producer part literally here. But we've got four guests on tomorrow. I got them all.
That's true.
It has not been my finest hour, hour and a half now.
Hey, Doug,
call in.
Let's go. Bucknell's playing Fordham tomorrow night. Doug will be on the air with the broadcast, we think.
Yeah. Of course, Kevin had the choice of Shikellamy and Bucknell, and he's going with the Braves tomorrow night because they'll be on WKOK. And then Doug Birdsong. Yeah. Oh, is he soloing tomorrow night, Kevin?
I don't believe so. I think Todd Newcomb.
They're
going to
bring
in.
Todd.
Be doing the game with him.
He's really good.
Yes,
I know. That's what I'm concerned about.
Really good. Yeah. He's really, really good. Oh man.
Oh, by the way, I just got a text from Doug that says, "I said, can you call now?" And he goes, "Oops, yes."
He's on the. He's actually Kevin. If you'll look at your
there it is
monitor,
now.
He's here now.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
All right. So, we'll get that set up and talk about Bucknell football here in a few moments. And tomorrow, Don Fisher, play-by-play voice, Indiana football. Greg Pickle, Fight on State tomorrow. Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice, Penn State Wrestling. And Icky Woods tomorrow. Duggar, how are you, Doug?
I'm doing quite well. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well, Doug. Hey, tell us about your analyst tomorrow night, because I heard he's really, really, really good.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be probably the best one we've ever had, well, certainly this year at least.
Wow.
This is joking, Kevin. Todd Newcomb is his name, and I think he'll do a fine job. We so will miss Kevin, though, I'll have to admit.
I mean, it's great when you get to the big games and you bring in the big guns. I love that.
Exactly.
Oh, I heard
you have the pleasure of working with Jack every game, but you know we want the special type for our big games here.
I heard that the entire post game on Saturday. You know, it's really a shame you're not going to be here for the big game. Like, yeah, I know. Thanks.
We will miss Kevin, though. I will have to admit, we will miss him. I mean, he usually brings me up a sandwich. So I mean,
you're not going to eat tomorrow night now, are you? You're done.
Just
all right, now, Doug, Doug, you have to straighten this out before we get to the game. What is the fascination with Wendy's?
Also, Kevin, continues to pass along misnomers, I say.
No, it's not a misnomer.
Actually, you know, we really like, well, I really like stopping at Wendy's. It's very cheap. The dollar menu is very, very inexpensive. I'm certainly not opposed to any of our other fine fast food sponsors, but that is a good place to stop.
But Doug has stock in Matamoros Wendy's.
Well, that's the only thing
we've come to conclusion. Every time we head up to New England, I think you have stock there.
I think you're correct. We did. That's a good place to stop, too. And there aren't too many other, I don't believe there are too many other fast food restaurants on that particular exit.
Oh, for goodness sakes. You got to curl all the way down the road and past the mall to get to that.
Well, that is true. It's not an easy stop. Not by a long stretch, Steve.
Oh, fine. I mean, I'll tell you right now, that thing gets smaller in my rearview mirror. I don't stop there.
Listen, Jonesy's made this trip on 84 many, many times. He's going to write down a bunch of places we should eat from now on, Doug.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. We always like to have good places to stop and eat.
Yeah. Yeah, and bad news for you. The ones I'm going to recommend have stars. All right, so let's get to the game. Fordham and Bucknell. We've had Joe Susan on to talk about his team all the way through. Give me a quick thumbnail. What has made Fordham so good this year?
Well, I think Chase Edmonds, the tailback, he's lightning quick. I mean, they've had some great tailbacks over the years there at Fordham, Steve. But I tell you what, when you get him in open space, he's just tough to bring down. He is along with their receivers, he is just a big game hitter. You can go for the home run almost every time he touches the ball. So you always have to cover the receivers, but when they spread you out with all of them across the field and you have him in open space, wow, he's like lightning.
What about the quarterback situation? That's been an interesting one there, just like Bucknell's has.
Exactly. I mean, it's definitely going to be Peter Matzold. He was the backup last year. He started as a freshman, but he was the backup last year to Niebrick, and he actually played most of the game against Bucknell and threw for over 300 yards and a score. He'll be starting again. He threw for around 300 last week against Colgate. So, you know, he may be a backup, but he's a senior. He's been in these kind of games. I'm sure he's going to be fine.
Doug, obviously, with Bucknell, there has been a process to get to this game, years of process to get to this game. For you, what is it like knowing you're going to walk into the booth and see a big game in Matthewson after the way the process has played out?
I am just tickled pink, to be quite honest, Steve. You've had the pleasure of calling many big games in terms of football, but this will be my second, I would say. The first was my very first year, Bucknell and Lehigh, really early in the Patriot League season, played at Goodman Stadium, about 16,000 folks, pretty much a sellout, beautiful October fall day, and it was ended up being a 21-14 Lehigh win. But you could sense Bucknell was in the hunt that year for the Patriot League title. Unfortunately, at that time, and maybe even this year, you lose one game in your league, and that's pretty much it. And that was kind of what felled the Bucknell team that year. But this will be the first time ever that I can recall, which will be a big game atmosphere. Maybe since 2003, we played Columbia at Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium in the Blue Band. We invited the Blue Band to play, and they were there, and it was just terrific. Huge crowd, the biggest crowd that I could remember at CMMS. I think this Friday will rival, maybe surpass that.
When you look at how they have handled adversity this year, and they've had some close game at Georgetown, overtime game with Lafayette, What has impressed you about this team as to how they have handled tough moments? Because in a game with Fordham, it's not going to be all smooth sailing. There will be tough moments.
I think the biggest thing that I've been impressed with is not only how they've handled those moments, but how they've handled injuries. This team has been beset with one injury after another, and I think that from those injuries and the next guy stepping up and not just filling the void, but filling it quite capably, I might add, I think that has then translated into some of the tough times when you are trailing or it's close or whatever, with Georgetown trailing last week until the last 4 minutes at home against Lafayette. I think that having battled some of the injuries, some of that attitude has carried over to individual games, and they've been able to make it through. And, you know, in football, it's kind of like the NCAA basketball tournament. It's survive and advance.
Right. Exactly. Well, you're really in a playoff game tomorrow night.
No doubt. No doubt. I don't think I think Fordham could go to the playoffs even if they were to lose this game. I really think they could. I don't know that Bucknell could. I think we would be in the mentioning. I think some folks would say our name, but I don't know if the committee would pick Bucknell if they lost the game tomorrow night, and even if they beat Holy Cross and Colgate.
Well, this is really cool to have this happen at this particular stage. Looking forward to it. And then 2 weeks from tomorrow, my man, you and I get hooked up at Soika. I've never done a game at Soika, and I'm very concerned that you're going to wear bell bottoms.
I'd be concerned too.
Time. I am looking so forward to that because I think I'm sure there'll be a ton of Penn State fans. I already know a lot of folks have contacted me about tickets. Unfortunately, I didn't have any, but I think it's just going to be a special, special game. The throwback uniform's going to be part of it. But, yeah, I think I may have to break out the bell bottoms for this. I just don't know if I ever had any orange ones.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. As I said, I've always felt it was wrong that Penn State has not played there in such a long time. And I've always said that. And I'm thrilled that they're going to play this game. It's going to be at Soika. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you then there, Doug. Good luck this weekend.
Hey, thank you very much, Steve. Can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be a lot of fun. And tomorrow night, enjoy every second of that tomorrow night. It's always a great experience in the big games.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely looking forward to it, no doubt.
Doug, you can bet Trophy is going to be making updates during the Shikellamy-Sealands Grove game for me on that one.
You got it. I mean, now, the good thing is, Steve, we're going to have Kevin back for the 4:30 a.m. departure next Saturday morning to go to Worcester, Massachusetts.
The excitement's welling up inside me already.
I love it. There's nothing like 80, 81, 84 all through Connecticut to the Mass Pike to 290.
Racing the sunshine.
You know that route pretty well, Steve.
I do know the route very, very well. And again, the restaurants I go to have stars, Doug.
Okay, not Wendy's.
although I will point out, I do know what the Learfield per diem is, and I understand why you're doing this.
Exactly.
All right. My good friend Doug Birdsong, one of the best ever. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, too.
6:30 tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, the airtime at Eagle 107. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
There's a song depicts your Doug Birdsong and Bell Bottoms for you, Steve.
I'm sorry. I suddenly feel just a bit ill.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I've seen pictures of you with bell bottoms on, standing in front of a real reel-to-reel machine.
No, I don't think so. I know at some point in the 70s I wore bell bottoms because obviously somebody bought them for me.
I don't think he had many options in the 70s besides bell bottoms. No, I had a pair of bell bottoms, and I was like five.
No, but I wore cords back then, too. You know, they weren't.
You know what Cosby used to say about corduroys? You have that and the sole of your shoe coming off. You were a one-man band going voom, voom, flap when you walked down the street.
That's right. That's right. As back in those days.
Yeah.
Back in those days.
Bell bottoms were great in the early 70s when I was in college because you could take a big elastic rubber band and put a couple cans of beer wrapped around your ankles and sneak them into the dorm under the bell bottoms. That's all I'm saying. Not that I ever did
so,
that.
The thoughts of Bob Buehner are not necessarily supported by the Steve Jones Show.
Yeah, there
so let me get this straight. You went into law?
He had experience in breaking it.
Exactly.
He figured he was on his way.
After 4 years of avoiding and evading the law, I decided I better go over to the other side. And then the most shocking thing happened. When all of my college friends found out I became a prosecutor, they thought that was the wolf in the hen house theory.
Let me guess. Yeah. You had a court-appointed defense attorney one time that said to you, you know, you've been here enough times, you should be able to defend yourself. And Bob said, hey, there's a career idea.
No, one time in court, in juvenile court a few years ago, there was a young man who had done something inappropriate, put it mildly, that just barely crossed the line, so he was charged with a juvenile offense. It was not a serious matter in the sense of in the greater scheme of life. And the case is over. He admitted his wrongdoing, and he was given a small probationary sentence. And as we're walking out, I put my arm around this young man, and I said, you know what the difference between me and you is? He looked at me and says, no. I said, I didn't get caught. Now, learn your lesson. Don't do it again. Don't risk getting caught. Don't make the mistakes that I did, etc. But, you know, there's sometimes back in the 70s with bell bottoms in that era, you could do things and not get in trouble. Today we make everything a crime and all prosecutable. It bothers me to no end.
Yeah, no, it is. And part of that is, excuse the momentary lapse into elections, but part of it is, I prosecuted and convicted 4,000, and pick a number.
Yeah.
Like, please don't use people to get reelected.
That is, Steve, you've put your finger on it exactly. I always wanted to be the Maytag repairman of district attorneys. In other words,
yes.
I didn't want to. In order for me to prosecute somebody, that meant there generally had to be a victim. And the victim was somebody who lived in my county that probably in a small county like Montour, I probably knew or knew of. I didn't want that to happen. I'd rather be not looking for cases and then having to go out and do those things because it meant there's criminals. And we have criminalized a lot of stuff that we shouldn't have. We got to let people just work things out amongst themselves sometimes. Right. And you're right.
I mean, there's a lot of and there's a lot of stuff based on that now where Kevin's very nervous every day.
Yeah, just driving to work.
Well, now he's talked about how he takes his hands off the wheel to park. Like, wow.
That's what the car told me to do, Steve.
Okay. How cocky is that?
No, it's yes, officer, I do have my hands off the wheels.
I'm sorry, officer. The car told me to take my hands off the wheels. Is that something you can get away with in court, Bob? I'm wondering.
Kevin, no. No.
Remind me not to call you if I get into any trouble, Bob.
Kevin, I do have a defense for you.
Yeah?
Insanity.
Nobody's going to buy that.
Yes, they will.
Oh, no. After this show, believe me, we just have to a couple little quick snippets, and believe me, you're home free.
My defense
I'm telling you, Every team should never play each other until the championship game. Insane!
Yes.
He's insane!
Steve, it would be. Here's what it would be. We go into court. I'd say to Kevin, just keep your mouth shut. Your Honor, I represent Mr. Kevin Herr. Allow me to play some snippets of some Steve Jones shows from 2014.
I don't have to take
I rest my case.
I don't have to take this abuse. There's hundreds of people waiting to abuse me.
Oh, no, we're just on the air as your good friends defending how we would get you out of a situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And all you do is then turn it back on us?
Yeah.
Hang on, let me look up definition of good friends.
Okay, we're the best friends you could possibly have. We've got your back.
Exactly. We're going to get you out of these things, Kevin.
We know that we can go in with any insanity defense with you, and it's going to work.
Yeah. I wouldn't try it for a lot of people, but Kevin, honestly...
Wow, that compliment is so backwards, I don't even think I can see where it's going.
It's a lead pipe cinch.
Stone cold lead pipe lock, huh?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? To this?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Steve Jones, Bob Buhner, Kevin Herr. If you've missed any of the show so far, let's recap.
Nah, just go to the podcast at stevejonesshow.com. We don't have to recap it.
Oh, sure we do. We've had Doug Birdsong on. We've had our high school football preview on. We found out that Kevin has parked a car without using his hands. And we've also found out that if he's ever in trouble, the insanity defense is a lock.
The car told me to take my hands off the wheel. I realize that does sound a little strange to some folks, but it's meant to be that way.
Yes, Your Honor. All right. I'm telling you, Bob, he can commit any crime he wants. He'll get the insanity defense. 4 or 5 clips of this show, done.
The car told me to do that.
I'd rank last year's defending national champion number one because you're number one until you're beaten. You know, the team changed, right?
You're not changing my mind on that one. I'm sorry.
See what I mean, Bob? Insanity defense. L-O-C-K, lock.
I'm glad I amuse you.
Well, up to a point, yeah. We're in a silly mood today, all right?
You're borderline giddy here today. What in the world?
Think of what we have right now. At a great, great time of the year. I know it's not August where nothing's going on and there's no pressure on you, and you love that. I get it. I got it. I understand completely. All right? But, you know, you think about this. Now, I got a football game coming up on Saturday.
Yes, you do.
So 48 hours from now, I'll actually be on a plane on the way back. 24 hours from now, I'll be on a plane going. Okay? Just great. Broadcasting a football game on a Saturday afternoon. Then I go to next week. Friday night, I got the basketball opener. Fabulous. Followed up by a football game at Beaver Stadium. Followed up Sunday by another basketball game. Right, then I go to Illinois for a football game. Then Thanksgiving week on a Tuesday night, I've got a basketball game at the Jordan Center. Friday, I'm at beautiful Soika on Black Friday to see Bucknell and Creamsicle outfits take on Penn State in black and pink. Right, the next day. Then I go into a game on the 3rd. I go to Marshall on the 6th. I got a home game with Duquesne on the 10th. Then I got a game on the 14th with George Washington, who's really good, along with the football banquet that day. Then I go to Allentown for a game with Drexel. Then I've got another basketball game at home on the 22nd. Then if Penn State can win 2 more football games, maybe another football game after that. Then I go to Wisconsin for the Big Ten opener on New Year's Eve. Plus, you got the bowl season coming up. Right? The Gilded New Mexico Bowl, where Bob and I gathered with Chip and Dip over at Kevin's place and watched the Gilded New Mexico Bowl play out in Albuquerque.
I'm looking forward to that. And this year, Steve, I'll bring the dip.
When's the Boca Bowl?
The Boca Bowl. It's the Boca Raton Bowl. That is going to be, I think it's December 23rd.
Do the Bahamas is the Bahama Bowl this year?
It's this year, man.
That's the one I'm waiting for, the Bahama Mama Bowl.
Is
the Bahama Mama Bowl?
No.
You know, but again, we kid about the number of bowl games, okay? All right? We kid about the number of bowl games, except the ratings for them are great.
Yeah.
That just means that men across the United States do not go shopping with their wives Christmas season.
It means they'll watch anything that has a football on it anymore.
Exactly, that too.
You know, speaking of football, Steve, okay.
All starts, forget this, Bob, the Gilded New Mexico Bowl thing and the Chip and Dip thing.
Yes.
Okay, that's the second game. I thought it was first.
Okay.
I was wrong. That's the second game. The first game is the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl at 11 a.m.
Yeah, the New Orleans Bowl.
You know, you love those Bloody Mary breakfast bowls, as I call them.
They have the Gilded New Mexico Bowl, the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl, and the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, and the Raycon Media Camellia Bowl. All right in a row on the 20th. Five bowl games of celebration.
Well, it's the best name ever.
That's in Montgomery. Then on the 22nd, you've got the Miami Beach Bowl.
I'm there
for that. The Boca Raton Bowl. I said the Boca Raton Bowl is the 23rd. I was right. It is. And that is and obviously at FAU. Then the Poinsettia Bowl is on the 23rd. Now, this is where you're going to love it, Kev. There's a doubleheader on Christmas Eve. At noon, it is the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl in Nassau, the Bahamas, at noon. And then at night, it's the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl.
Now, let me tell you right now, those are two places that I wouldn't mind spending Christmas Eve. All right.
Exactly. That tells you right there. I'll accept the bid. We're going. Okay?
I'm in.
Next, let's see. 26th. It is the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl.
Oh.
Okay? The Quick Lane Bowl. That's in Detroit. The Bitcoin St. Petersburg Bowl, which replaces, by the way, Beef O'Brady's.
Not sure that's a step in the right direction.
On the 27th, it's the Military Bowl in Annapolis, the Hyundai Sun Bowl in El Paso, the Duck Commander Independence Bowl in Shreveport, the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium.
Wait. Hold on. You mean Poland is out of it? It's not going to be the Poland Wheat Eater Independence Bowl? How long have they been out of it? Oh.
Like 7 or 8 years.
That's the best bowl name ever.
The Pool and Weed Eater Independence Bowl. That's been out for 15 years now. Man, you
really
are archaic.
Don't you remember the commercials for that? It was like nobody knew how to pronounce it, so there was like the Poulan Weed Eater Independence Bowl.
Poulan. Finish out the 27th with the National University Holiday Bowl. Then on Monday the 29th, you've got the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, the Russell Athletic Bowl, the Avco Care Texas Bowl. Then on the 30th, it's the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl.
That's the winner right now.
By the time you're done saying the name, the pregame show's over. Then it's the Belk Bowl in Charlotte.
Yep.
And the San Francisco Bowl, which is in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium.
That's not even in San Francisco.
No. That's the best part.
Then on New Year's Eve, you've got the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl in Atlanta. The Vizio Fiesta Bowl in Glendale. Okay? And you've got the Capital One Orange Bowl. Mm. All right? And then we get to New Year's Day. New Year's Day is the Outback Bowl, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, and, of course, then we get to the serious business, the Rose Bowl, which is one semifinal, and the All-State Sugar Bowl, the other semifinal. Then we get to January 2nd. This is where Kevin starts to bristle. He does not want any game after January 1st.
I don't want any game after January 1st.
The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth.
By the way, which is an automatic, isn't that an automatic Army berth? Doesn't automatic Army automatically go to that?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're in. Tax Slayer Bowl. That's in Jacksonville. That's the Gator Bowl. The Valero Alamo Bowl. And the Cactus Bowl in Tempe.
The Cactus
Bowl. On the 3rd of January, it's the Birmingham Bowl, ironically in Birmingham. On the 4th, it's the GoDaddy Bowl in Mobile.
You just want to watch that for the commercials. That's all you don't care who's playing in that bowl game.
And then on January 12th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, it's the college football championship game.
You know what you're going to hear in the Popeyes Bahama Bowl and the Hawaii Bowl? This is going to be every bump is going to be this going in and out of commercial.
It's all right. It's going to be. It's going to be great.
Steve, for that one, when we come to your house for that bowl game, should we wear our flowered shirts and all that?
Absolutely. I want you guys to dress up just like Ben Affleck did and Josh Hartnett in Pearl Harbor when they went up in the planes.
Exactly. We can do that. I've got some shirts.
Yeah.
Well, you just went through the entire bowl schedule. There's a lot of bowls. There's no question about it.
Steve, let me ask you a more serious question as it relates to bowl games. Assume that Penn State does reach the magic threshold of 6. Could you tell us, or do you know what, and let's just say they end 6-6, what their options might be?
Well, it's all done by selection, Bob. This is not as much by record, although I would assume teams with the better records will get the New Year's Day assignments.
Sure.
In other words, the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl and the Outback Bowl, there'll probably be some of the top teams. Then the third choice after that is actually the Holiday Bowl. And the fourth choice is the Pinstripe Bowl. And for some reason, my gut tells me that Penn State, because this is a selection, I'd be very surprised that if Penn State were to win 2 more games, I'd be surprised that they fell below the Pinstripe.
So, potentially, Yankee Stadium in December.
Right. Now, after that, the Tax Slayer Bowl's after, I think they have the 5th choice.
The two projections I saw were Pinstripe Bowl and the Quick Lane Bowl.
Ah.
Yeah, but again, this is done by selection.
Right.
So whomever is doing this doesn't get it. All right, because you're going to go with they're going to try and put teams in spots that are going to draw people.
Yeah. And of course, as we all know, Penn State has a huge traveling base for bowl games with a rather we could I guess accurately describe it, Steve and Kevin, as a pent-up demand for a bowl game.
Well, after I saw the reaction to how people reacted to Penn State in Ireland, I mean, I got up on stage and I took out yes, I actually have an iPhone.
The day that I got an iMessage from you, I thought the world was coming to an end, by the way.
It's one of the 7 signs of the apocalypse, by the way.
It was one of my hopes. I got up on stage and I said, I got to do this. And I took a picture of the crowd. And there were 10,000 plus people there in Ireland. People have been aching at Penn State for something like that for a long time. You throw a bowl game in on top of that, they'll go.
No question.
By the way, and I think Steve is right on when he says Pinstripe Bowl. And I think that's a very good projection, because if you're the organizer of the Pinstripe Bowl, you have an ACC Big Ten matchup, and you're in the Bronx, New York. Where do you think you could come up with one of the better matchups that would draw people out to Yankee Stadium? Right. I'm thinking Pitt, Penn State.
The Pitt part is not going to light them up. They'd want a better draw than that. But I know you want to create something. I got it. But the bottom line is they just need one team in there to make it. Syracuse has been there. Rutgers has been there. Notre Dame has been there. Right? That's, you know, they're looking for that draw that will get people in. Penn State will get them in there.
There's
no question about that. I mean, and then after that, they can create whatever matchup they want. If it turns out that if it were to be Pitt, so be it. But, so be it.
I would think, Steve, just from a Penn State fan's perspective, if it was Pitt, I think there'd be a lot more Penn State fans going.
Well, I think there'd be a lot of fans going
and
in general.
A lot of it would be Pitt fans, but I think that could really fire up a Penn State fan base. Hey, we have Pitt. We want them badly. We'll go.
Well, it would open up an older Penn State fan base. I mean, Penn State fans under the age of 30 years old have no idea.
Yeah, true.
All right? I mean, they really don't. I mean, think about this. You know, they haven't played on, you know, they played the 4 years in 97, 98, 99, 2000. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Since 1992, that's 22 years, Bob. They played four times. Okay? There are Penn State seniors right now. Or let's go to the other side, freshmen. Freshmen here at Penn State right now, right, at this particular moment, that were 4 years old the last time Penn State played Pitt. And then it wasn't as much of a big deal either as it was the every year end of the year game. Well, the every year end of the year game was 1992. Okay, Penn State seniors were born that year. There's no on the campus for the student body. There is zero passion for this. None. I've asked my classes, Bob. I've asked them. They're big sports fans.
I said,
I put up on the board choices. Pitt finishes fourth every time.
Is that right? Because I would think if you have Penn State students who are from the Western Pennsylvania area who have been putting up with nonsense from their high school classmates who went to Pitt, there still is a pervasive rivalry with that segment. But I agree. Somebody from a Sunbury or Shikellamy High School or Lewisburg High School going to Penn State is not going to view Pitt the same way some Penn State student from, say, North Allegheny or Mount Lebanon would feel about it.
Let me throw something else out.
You're 30 years old. The game, they haven't played.
Yeah.
What about this matchup in the pinstripe? I mean, we're just having fun here.
Yeah.
I see the matchups with Penn State that I think would make entertaining football, or at least intriguing for as far as getting people to go to the game. Boston College, just because of a proximity standpoint. I would also think Miami and Pittsburgh. Those are the ones in the ACC I would think would be intriguing, or at least proximity-wise make sense.
I'd have to see part of it. I'd have to see what the ACC selection process is. Mm-hmm.
I agree with Kevin in the Miami.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm just pulling names out of teams that are somewhere, you know, either 500 or above 500. Like Boston College right now is third in the Atlantic Division, and Miami's third in the Coastal.
Yeah, but see, that's not the criteria here. This is not based on record.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not based on record.
This is just like an at-large selection.
Exactly. These are all at large. They wanted to change up how they do bowls because they got sick of the slotting. For example, they don't want, for example, Nebraska to go to the Outback Bowl three straight years. That's why they've changed up how they do things, because they want the parts to move around a little bit more so that you don't get in a position of, oh, great, we're all going back to Tampa. All right, fabulous. Okay. You know, they want to put a little more juice into it where, yeah, okay, we were in Tampa last year, and even though we have the same record, we're going to go to San Diego this year.
I don't know. I would think Boston College would be an intriguing matchup to get people to go.
Well, I'd like to see them beat Indiana first tomorrow and then win another game.
Well,
and then
I'll speculate
all you want after that.
I've got an advantage over you. I can speculate with no consequences.
Right.
I've got no dog in the hunt.
But I can also explain the bowl process to everybody as to how it works. I mean, that part I can explain as to why one might be preferable to another, because it is now a selection where the Big Ten helps arrange the game, as opposed to you finish third, you get the third team.
Yeah.
That's the big difference now. The Holiday Bowl will pick third. The Pinstripe is going to pick fourth, and then it's going to be the Holiday Bowl after that. So it's not going to be as much of, you know, okay, you finished second, so you go to the number two bowl. You finished third, you go. That's about the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to avoid is that, hey, great, we're all going back to Orlando for the eighth time in 10 years. Okay. And because they want people to, they want to move around the parts so they can get the fan base in part energized to go someplace else, as opposed to, that's great, I know all the roads in Orlando by the back of my hand. Love it.
Yeah, I think that familiarity.
We'll come back. Yeah, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
On a bright Hawaiian Christmas day, that's the island greeting that we send.
Nothing like the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. When you've really had enough of the holiday cheer at that point, want to kick back and watch some football.
I'm just wondering. Huh? I'm just wondering. Are there discounts for the hotel for the Sheraton for their if you're going to the bowl game?
I don't know.
You don't care. You would be taken care of.
I mean, I'm on a list that says I don't have to pay.
Rooms? Sure, we have a room for you, Mr. Jones. Please come right down the hallway. It's a little breezy here this time of year, but we hope you enjoy the al fresco style.
Well, remember this, that the Big Ten does not have an agreement with that bowl game.
Yes, that is true.
Penn State actually played in the Aloha Bowl once, and I was actually on the broadcast team. And they made a decision. This is back in 1983. And it was Gil Santos, John Grant, and me. I was the third announcer. And Washington and Penn State split the broadcast and couldn't take everybody. One of us went to Hartford to do basketball. Okay, well.
Who went to Hartford, Steve?
I sat there and watched the roof leaked. Roof is leaking. Everybody leave. They're playing Arizona State. Then they played Columbia. They lost Arizona State 53-50, and they beat Columbia in overtime 84-79. 1983. You can look it up.
I believe you.
Steve, does Penn State basketball have a tournament they're doing this year, playing in this year?
Yeah, Charleston. And I will not be able to do the tournament. We probably determined that. I could do Thursday's game
right. Easily.
And I can do Sunday's game. I can't do Friday's game. So instead of paying to have me fly back and forth and have somebody else announce the game on Friday, they're just going to have the same guy do all three games.
I was just worried about you in this show. I really wasn't worried about who was doing the game. I have very small needs.
Once again, Bob, we go back to that insanity defense.
Yeah, it will work. I guarantee it. Any judge in this Commonwealth will buy it from you and me.
Bob, that part of the entire trial will take 72 seconds.
Just play
it. Yeah,
yep.
I got it. I've heard the show.
I got some cold cuts today.
And once again, another example of where we're going. Icky is on the show tomorrow. He will be here.